Hello, everyone. We are back. We are back. Can you believe it? We're back again right after July 4th. We're hitting the pavement hard, going at it. I missed you guys. Hope you missed me too. Welcome back to the globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by fundraisingcup.org Ministries. Yeah. Again, as always, I want to remind you guys that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion grounded in faith and honor to our Father. Here we discuss various topics related to supporting communities in all walks of life as we are attracting a diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life-learned lessons, to our day-to-day experiences. So with that said, I want to encourage you all to continue to support not just this podcast, but also donate. Please donate, because every little contribution helps. If you wish to make a donation, please contact our fundraising charity on 615-205-5657, or you're also welcome to donate online. Your support will, as always, be greatly appreciated. Okay, supporters. Today, you guys are in for a special treat. Our brother Thomas is back again. Welcome back,
hello, brother Thomas.
He's here with us to discuss a very interesting topic that I would say a lot of spiritualists shy away from, but we're not doing that today. We're going to face it head on. And the topic today is facing the Python, Jezebel, and unclean spirits. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We are going to face it head on today. And I want to encourage you guys to share this podcast with your friends and family who may also encounter these so-called spirits here. Now, why I'm so eager to share my thoughts on this topic is, of course, I have faced all of these faced on within my own family, workplace, and even strangers, guys. And I know many of you more than likely have come across some kind of spirit, and you may not have a clue what you were dealing with, and was wondering why it's so difficult for you to get some understanding about how this person is operating, and more than likely you were dealing with some sort of unclean spirit. So we're going to touch on each of these today. You know, I found in my experience, personal experience, they seem to provoke you a lot of times into anger. They may try to set you up, falsely accuse you, monitor you as if they are part of some type of FBI squad team, illegal surveillance, all kinds of craziness. You name it, child. They're into it. And I think if we all could identify these spirits, we could better manage them in our day-to-day lives. Right, Thomas, don't you agree?
Oh, most definitely, Jewel. I do. And I'll say this, you know, what I was just thinking, and God just gave me this little nugget here. You know, people, we are basically every day faced with life as a tempest. Now, there are several different ways, analogies that you can talk about tempest. And we do have a tempest that's right outside the coast of Texas right now. And we don't know what's going to be happening with Beryl. But we have tempests in our lives too, and this is what Jewel is alluding to, that these tempests that are there are there to basically tear away at our foundations. And so, you know, again, if we turn toward God and have our focus on Him, no matter whatever the tempest is, whether it be an incoming, you know, hurricane, whether it be the turmoil of life, of all the things that life throws at us, the darts that are thrown at us, the devil and his trying to tear us down, trying to get us to turn from our, you know, our belief in God and turn toward the wickedness of this world. Well, these are the tempests that we have to focus on each and every day. And without God in our corner, without God as our basis, we will fail. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. You're absolutely right, Brother Thomas. And before I ask you to jump into these key scriptures for this particular topic this week, I want to share with you guys a little bit about Satan's kingdom and ranking, right? Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 12:43 that there are levels of wickedness in Satan's kingdom. Yes, believe it or not, there are levels. So you may, for example, come across someone that just has an angry spirit. There's people you may come across that have a murderous spirit. There are different levels, believe it or not, of the kind of demons you can encounter and spirits within people. And, you know, if there are levels of wickedness in his kingdom where some demons are actually more evil than some of the other ones will be, then I believe there may be different levels of intelligence among the demons as well, right?
Yeah.
You would just assume so. And so with that being said, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the Jezebel spirit before Thomas goes into the readings covering the Python and unclean spirit. We're not going to read scripture on Jezebel because it's pretty lengthy. She's in Kings 1 and Kings 2. There's a lot going on, but, you know, I want to summarize some of what I think you guys should look out for with the Jezebel spirit in particular, because that's a very cunning
complex
spirit.
It's complex.
Yes. Very, very complex, Thomas. The Jezebel spirit, since it's much more intelligent than some of the lower ranking demons will be, it is very good at playing head games with people.
Very demanding,
very controlling. It's like a control freak, right?
Yes.
Needs to be in control by any means necessary. And if it can't be in control, then it would escalate into possibly taking someone out, because that's just part of the spirit.
Sacrifice is expected. The sacrifice.
Yes. The Jezebel spirit also involves sacrificing human beings at any cost. So I'm going to dive into this a little bit. And it's also very good at manipulation and getting people to do its evil bidding. So we have to be careful for that, because when you're dealing with the Jezebel spirit, it doesn't just stop there. It actually, it has tentacles, and it reaches out to people in different areas and fields and say, can you do this for me? Can you do that? I mean, we're all going to do this evil stuff, but it's led by this demonic Jezebel spirit. This Jezebel spirit is like I mentioned, it's found in Kings 1 and 2. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of Tyre or Sidon, and priest of the cult Baal. Now, that's very interesting, because that's going to come up a little bit later, right, Brother Thomas? We're going to talk about who's still worshiping Baal and why that Jezebel spirit is still within that midst of that group.
Right.
But I want to say, just a little background in history. Ahab and Jezebel's reign over Israel is one of the saddest chapters in the history of God's people, because Jezebel's sexual immorality and idol worship that the Lord Jesus himself refers to her as in a warning to the church at Thyatira. Did I say that right?
Harlot. Mm-hmm.
Yes, refers to her as a harlot in Revelation 2:18-29, and according to the Bible, she provoked conflict that weakened Israel for decades by interfering with the exclusive worship of the Hebrew God. Jezebel has come to be recognized, I think, as a model of the wicked woman. You know what I mean? Embodying this characteristic of the characteristics of cruelty, greed, and vanity. So we often hear that, I know I've heard it quite a bit growing up, of people having that Jezebel spirit. And many people, that this type of spirit may be not only one of Satan's smartest, because we talked about this, this level of intelligence, this spirit, once it gets a specific target, it wants to get the most bang for her buck, so to speak,
yeah.
Right? So,
if you think about it, even the Tower of Babel, okay?
Uh-huh.
Basically, that was dealing with Jezebel. Because what it was saying, she had instilled this thought in them that, hey, you can reach God. You can have the powers of God if you simply build this tower for me, okay, and you will reach to the heavens, okay?
Uh-huh.
So it's been there all along, people, and still is today.
You're absolutely right, Brother Thomas. It's mind-blowing that a lot of this information, as we always share, right, is already in the scripture, and we sometimes don't realize that we've come across this kind of spirit when we're dealing with
multiple times
life
and
so much. And you're like, oh, my goodness, I've come across a Jezebel spirit that's reaching its tentacles out to all kinds of areas and levels in politics, law enforcement, all kinds of things to be in control, to control another human being, that's practiced, and that person is practicing all kinds of sexual immorality and deviant behavior, and just breaking up families, just you name it. Name it. This level of demonic intelligence, within this spirit that consumed this vessel, took over, and it's doing just some of the most outrageous things. But anyway, I just want to sum it up and say that, you know, knowing that this spirit is evil, cunning, and harder to deal with than any of these other spirits, once it attaches to a person, Lord help us all, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will discuss a little bit later on how it attaches, where the opening is for that spirit to attach. But I just want to basically give you guys just some background on this particular spirit. And if you find that in your families, at your job, at your school, wherever you go, you're dealing with someone that they're very tactical in their attack. It's not just a, you know, he say, she say thing. It's it's an attack on several levels beyond slander. You know, they're manipulating all sectors and using all people to obtain what it is that they want and be in control as much as they can. So that's the Jezebel spirit. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on how to deal with it and how to get through that Jezebel spirit.
What you need to tell people, Jewel, is they, in other words, when they have the Jezebel spirit, they need to face it head on. You know,
that
don't look down, don't look
true.
To the side, eye-to-eye contact.
Right? Facing these spirits.
Facing
and
it.
It's particularly the Jezebel spirit, because, you know, most of all of these unclean spirits like to hide anyway. They like to hide in the shadows. They like other people to do their bidding. They very seldom come up to you and say, hey, I'm about to destroy your life with lies. That hardly ever happens.
They
fear actually facing someone with divinity, someone holy.
The light. They shy from the light. They shy from the light.
They shy away from the light. They will only talk in the dark of what they would do, but they would not do that. So Brother Thomas is absolutely right. We cannot shy away from that demon. If and when we have the opportunity to face it head on, we must face it head on, eyes locked in. And I'm going to talk a little bit too about the eyes and being the mirror of the soul, but, don't fear. And if you stand with God, you don't have to fear any of these demons or minions or legions that they send.
Well, sometimes, Jewel, sometimes we need to look into the mirror. We do. But sometimes the demon's in within us. And so we need to look our demons in the eye when we're looking in the mirror and saying, God, I see this demon inside me. And I'm saying, I don't want this demon to control my life anymore. For whatever reason, whatever it's doing. And so when we say, let go, let God, God can take that demon and throw it out, cast it out.
Amen.
So that's what we need to do. We need to cast out demons.
Thomas makes a valid point. Because it's not just that we see it in others, but if others see it in themselves, we want to give you the tools to cast it out of yourself and face the truth. You know, if you know that you've been walking around in filth, doing sexual immorality, and being cunning and manipulative and doing even Jezebel's bidding, to face up to what you've done.
And Jill, and getting to that, it's a little off the top, but not really. So there are some stars out there that are actually, they have been so consumed with this Jezebel spirit that now they don't even have a single mirror in their home. Now you wonder why.
Ooh.
Because when they see them, when they look in the mirror, they see it's not them. They see their lives have been changed and they don't want to see it. They don't want to face the demonic part of their life. So they take out all the mirrors. Because if they don't have a mirror that shows a reflection, then they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can keep on going with their demonic way. But when they're facing their devils, okay, their demons, that's why they take the mirrors out. So a mirror is an image. Remember that, people. Mirror is an image. So you've heard of mirrored image. Well, hello.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So the mirror is a vision into the soul. And so if your soul has become darkened, well, that's the reason. The demon, the Jezebel spirit, has dimmed your vision, your focus. And so you need to get back focused on God. And that's your cleansing.
Wow.
That's your cleansing. That's your cleansing. Okay.
Brother Thomas, you're absolutely right. So with that said, I'm going to ask you to open up with the first scripture in Acts pertaining to the python.
Acts or you want Luke? What, you want Luke or Acts? I'm sorry.
Let's do Acts first, and then we'll follow up with Luke, generally pertaining to the rest of the unclean.
All righty. Well, you know me. I'm going to love Acts anyway because of what it is. So, people, here we go. It's me and Seven, so keep that in mind. So we're reading from Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse 16. So that's 16 and 16, if you don't know, that's a 7. 6 plus 1. Okay, going forward. So, and it happened that we were going to a place of prayer. A certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit for fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days. So basically she's advertising for them, which is a good thing. And so she says, "But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out at that very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being the Romans.' And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep, and had seen the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, I'm getting chills, together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, all and even all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now when day came, the chief magistrate sent their policemen, saying, "Release those men." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrate has set to release you. Now therefore come out and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now they are sending us away secretly? No, indeed, but let them come themselves and bring us out." And the policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. So, with those words, basically, you know, it's just like what's going on to now in society, Jewel. The evilness is coming out. And, you know, that's coming out of the dark shadows, right? And so basically, you know, they're saying, hey, they want to do these things in secret, but they don't want to step forward and say, hey, you know, we realize that something happened here miraculous and we don't want to deal with that. We just want you to, you know, let these policemen escort you out the city. No, that ain't what Paul said. He said, no, you're going to do this. You're going to do it all the way. You're the one that had us beaten. You're the one that had us put in prison. So you're going to have to be the one to say, hey, these men have done no wrong. We're going to let them go. Amen, amen. Jewel?
Amen. Brother Thomas, what I want to talk about here and emphasize is the Python spirit, or the spirit of the Python, right? And how it was pulled out of this particular scripture. So that slave girl who had the spirit of divination, so to speak, and this particular verse is called Pisona, right? It was originally rooted in Greek mythology, I think, with the story of Apollo slaying a serpent or a dragon of some sort. And basically, the slave girl gained her powers through the spirit of the python associated with the mythological serpent with oracles in general, right? And so Paul freed this demon, and it angered the men taking advantage of her, leading to a lawsuit. Now this python spirit, or spirit of a python, they say it usually inhabits fortune tellers, and the goal of this spirit is to oppress people by interfering with the communication of the Holy Spirit and thwarting prayer, right? Some even believe
basically,
that.
Basically, the Python spirit, Jewel, takes over control. Uh-huh. In other words, you go to that spirit for direction. You don't go to God.
Uh-huh.
And so when you do, that spirit tells you, you need to do this to get that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes over your life. It becomes the controlling force. So in other words, see, when that spirit is projected to this individual that's sitting on the opposite side of the table, then they then take that spirit into their lives and they do whatever harm that they have to do to get to that goal that they set that they need to have set for them. Mm-hmm.
Mm, interesting. So, in a sense, the spirit kind of gathers information about believers and uses that intel to call mm-hmm. other demons to attack people or churches in their mm-hmm. city, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. And this goes along with the levels where I told you guys there are different levels in this spirituality game of
right.
dealing with these demonic forces. So with this is also a very highly ranked level in Satan's kingdom, because this is, in a sense, like the organizer, right? So the spirit is organizing the demons and telling
right.
them where to go and who to attack and, you know.
Well, Jill, I'm
going
to say something here because I remember seeing a video, and I don't know if people have looked at this, but they really need to. When you look at the Vatican,
uh-huh.
the inner sanction of the Vatican, and you have where you have the Pope,
yes.
if you back it up and you look at the wide range of it, it is the
uh-huh.
face of a python.
Wow.
His fangs are out. The fangs are out.
Wow.
So basically, that's Roman Catholic, people. So the evilness that's in the Vatican, okay, is so, it's got, looks like a python, like it's ready to strike. Okay? So
mm-hmm.
even in churches, Catholic churches, our ultimate Roman Catholic, you know, Rome, the Vatican, is dealt with the evilness of a python. Even the inner sanctuary, the way it's built, the way they constructed it, the way they have the colorization, all of it. If you back away, you can see that it is the face of a python. And that Pope, when he's there speaking, he's speaking as the tongue of the python. Amen, amen.
Wow. Wow, that's deep. When I think of this python spirit, I think of a serpent like just trying to squeeze the life and the faith out of you.
They want to strike. See, a python strikes. They like to strike an evil blow. Mm-hmm.
I agree, but they do it. They have to do it at the right time. Right? So in the meantime, they're squeezing and squeezing, planning and plotting and waiting for the right time to strike, right?
Yeah.
And while they're squeezing, they're hoping to put you in the space of depression, of just being
overwhelmed by weakness
by the world. They just keep on squeezing you financially and
beating you down
and leave you hopeless. Take everything you have and see if you can still hold on to your faith in God.
Amen.
That's what I think of when I think of this python spirit, Brother Thomas. And I don't know about you, but I have surely felt the squeeze of the python.
Are we not in the season of Job right now?
Yes, sir. Many of us are. And the thing about this python spirit that kind of overlaps other spirits, is that, you know, you have to know how to rebuke it, similar to the Jezebel spirit that we spoke before, because this is also a very highly ranked demonic spirit.
Yep.
And I, you know, I share this with you, and we're going to talk later, I promise you. And I have a little prayer to rebuke these spirits, but
mm-hmm.
I just want to share, I can't share enough that this is all from Satan's kingdom. And oftentimes
Amen.
People who practice, certain, spiritual warfare will pray to entities, to bring
uh-huh.
these spirits onto you. And uh-huh. it's happening more and more to us believers, whether or not we want to actually openly speak about witchcraft, sorcery, and things of the sort. This is what our counterparts are, yes, this is what our counterparts are doing behind the veil. They're conjuring up these unclean spirits. And, Brother Thomas, I want you to jump right into, the next verse there in
sure.
Luke of how Jesus,
yes.
Dealt with these unclean legions
yes.
of spirits.
Alrighty. So what I'm going to be speaking about is in Luke 8, and it starts with verse 43. Another 7, maybe 4 plus 3.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone, sounds like me, and my issues, mm-hmm. but we'll talk about that another day, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she shall be made well." And when he had come to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, "Stop the weeping, for she has not died, but is only asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she rose immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. So, in that sense, basically, we're at that crossroads right now, Jewel. Because
yeah.
God is saying, "I'm here, people. You're thinking things are going this way, okay? And it's looking bad. It's really looking bad. And we've led these Jezebel spirits and the Python spirits, and they have taken over this world. And
mm-hmm.
this evilness just seems like it's just prevailing. And there's no hope."
Mm-hmm.
But the hope is in Jesus. Just like with me.
Yes, Lord.
I get up every day, people, and I face this evilness that I, with a jab. I don't know, a lot of people know about it. But I was forced to take it. And it changed me. It changed my life completely. That's why I'm saying we're in the season of Job, because I lost my health. I have no, there's no man that can help me. My doctor has told me this. I entered the hospital in January the 10th of 2022, and blood clots, and should have died. And there were two of the blood clots that broke loose, went through my heart and lodged in my lungs, becoming a pulmonary embolism. Those two blood clots, people, were 3.5 centimeters in diameter. 3.5 times 2 is 7. A lot of symbolism here. But then, you know, it didn't end that way. I did survive. God helped me survive. And I'm here today to tell that story. But, you know, then the next week I went back into the hospital with, orthostatic hypotension. Those of you who don't know, that's low blood pressure. Many people suffer from high blood pressure. I am the opposite. So, I face that every day. I get up every day. I take my blood pressure reading and it's going to always be low. I wish one day that it will be back to normal, but so far not. So I guess, you know, my season hasn't come yet for that victory, in my health, but I get up every day and I say my belief prayer, God. I say, Lord, you have control of my day. I'm going to let go and let God. I'm going to trust and obey because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And basically, I'm going to say this to you. You know, Carrie Underwood's song, Jesus Take the Wheel. So, I'm going to cry. When life is so unbearable and we're on this road and we can't seem to have control of the wheel, you know, we just need to pull over to the side, re-examine our thoughts and our emotions, and we just need to say, God, you take control. I can't do it any longer, and he will, but we've got to come to that realization, and this is where we are today, people. The evilness that's here on this road, this path that we're going, it seems so impossible to overcome. Mm-hmm. But you've got to remember something. With God, all things are possible. Focus on that. With God, all things are possible. We have limits in our life. God is limitless. So When things seem so dark and despairing, and impossible, and we're just at our wit's end, turn to God. Just say, God, take the wheel. I don't want to drive down this road anymore. I want to go where you tell me to go. Where you lead, I will follow. Amen and amen. Okay.
Amen. Amen. You know, guys, I told you a little bit earlier that I was going to come back and mention the entry point of these unclean spirits, Jezebel and Python, and much of which is unresolved emotional pain.
Yeah.
And for many, it stems from childhood. For some, it can be adulthood relationships, but for many, it stems from unhealed emotional pain. Next, I would say dysfunctional families. That can be a huge entry point. If you had to deal with that for a significant period of time and you have not turned to God and healed through it, ask Him to heal you and help you overcome the dysfunction of your families and the seditious ways. It can, these spirits can enter your vessel, especially if you're seeking some type of, you're seeking some type of vengeance or, retaliation. And
or if even some people, you know, are actually going to the fortune teller to get that divine intervention, they're thinking that, you know, that person has the fortitude and the vision that you need to, you know, project your life in. And that is so wrong. So wrong.
You know, Brother Thomas, we touched on this before, and I want to be clear because I don't want to be unfair to those that are spiritually gifted,
right,
that do help people, right? Because there are many that are spiritually gifted, whether they just call themselves prophets or tarot readers or whatever they call themselves, some of them are doing it the right
way
and for God.
In a godly way.
In a godly way. And they're
they're helpmates to God is what they are. They're helpmates.
Yes.
God put them on this world, on this earth, to be a beacon of light. To basically turn us back in that direction, you know, that we're not going in.
Yes.
But then you also have those that are the evil ones, and that's the ones that you've got to be aware of. You've got to be on top of.
That's what you have to be wary of. And so I just want to specify the difference of the two. One is set out to warn you and protect you and tell you, this is what the other side is about to do to you. And you need to get ready to you know, pick up your weapons to fight. While the other one, the Python and the Jezebel are not only organizing and trying to find a way to out-manipulate people through false religious practices and telling them, you have to do this because, you know, this is the way it needs to be done for religious sake. But all behind the scenes, behind the veil, they are lying, stealing, cheating, and killing, which is not God's way at all. So we have to be very clear on the difference between the two, and I don't want to persecute those that are doing the work that God has set out for them in their calling, because some of them are doing a really good job and, have even helped me and opened my eyes to some madness. So I encourage you guys to use discernment in trying to figure out who's who. And, like we mentioned before, we talked about the Jezebel spirit. If it involves a lot of sexual immorality in certain groups, you already know what's behind it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist here for you to figure out, like, no, I think you're on the other team. And so forth. So you have to use that wisdom and that discernment. It's so important in figuring out the difference of the two. But Brother Thomas is also right. And if a person...
One thing you need to know is if it sounds too good to be true...
It often
is. It's too good to be true.
It often is. Yeah. You know.
And that's
your
inner conflict inside you. You gotta face your demons, as they say. They've said that expression before. Face your demons. So, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, and in your heart you know it's too good to be true, then why do you do it? Why do you go that route? You know?
It is.
So basically God's saying, turn from your evil ways. Look the devil in the eye and say, get thee behind me, Satan. You know? I don't want to have anything to do with you. I want to focus on what is true, what is tried, and what is believable. And that is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I want to say, Brother Thomas, if a person has a lot of unresolved emotional pain, such as rejection, unforgiveness, abandonment, feeling abused, these are all entry points for the spirit. The spirit itself is rooted in pain. And so, for many people, these folks know the triggers, and they will latch on to your vessel when you come across these same feelings coming back up again in adulthood.
Yeah.
If you feel like your parents abandoned you in childhood, and then now you're a grown adult, and you have a problem moving on from a relationship because of that abandonment issue, so what? Your vessel opens up to a Jezebel spirit where you feel you need to control that person. You need to make them suffer for leaving you.
And
you
so
need to do all of this craziness.
Well, Jill, and also that's the devil basically taking over your thoughts. And so he's saying, look, you know, you see, you were innocent and these things happened to you. Now, why did this happen to you? You see, God basically closed his eyes and he just left you to be on your own. And so you went through and suffered all these things. So let me say this. I've got the solution for you. You see, if you go my way and you follow what I teach and you do all these things, I'll give you all these riches.
You can be so powerful. And you can have all the riches. But the thing is, what Satan doesn't share with you when he's offering you these lovely spirits of his,
the price.
Is that, yes, I was going to say the price. And, well, for some, in certain groups, they openly share the price. And they say, yeah, you have to kill someone. Sacrifice.
Okay.
But in others, they don't share the price. And so you go in blindly thinking, of course, I want to have all this power and wealth and everyone
right.
looking up to me and, you know, admiring me from a distance.
Recognition. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because recognition is so important, especially those that have been abandoned and
yes,
you know, not
yes.
treated well as a child. That's so critical for them.
Oh, yes.
But here's the thing, and I know you guys may have heard this in other, you know, just various podcasts or religious groups where they talk about putting in the work, you know, doing
yeah.
the work on yourself. And recognizing these entry points, the darkness that you need to deal with on your own and, accept, right? And
yeah.
grow from. And I'll give you guys an example, even with my own self, right? I had to come to terms with the fact that, as an empath, believe it or not, I used to enable certain poor behavior from others, and I had to learn to
control
set
it.
Some really strict boundaries and control it, which is funny because Brother Thomas has said a few days ago that I've become so good at that. He actually sent me a song. What is it, Brother Thomas, the Barracuda song?
Oh, yeah, Barracuda.
Yes.
Yeah, with
he
Ann.
Says,
with Harp,
calls,
the group Harp.
He says
yes.
that's my new theme song because, you know, I've come to terms with putting my foot down and saying, you know, I've tried to talk to the spirit and deal with the spirit in a nice way, and the spirit still seems to want to control and want to abuse, and just it's so toxic, it's overwhelming, and I have to become a barracuda and said the buck stops here. This is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to state my truth. I'm going to stand
mm-hmm.
in it, and I'm not going to tolerate anything
Amen.
Less than respect.
She totally
so
reverts people. I'm telling you, it's
you have a 360 on us.
You throwing those demons for a loop. That they thought they had control. They thought that basically, you know, hey, she's gonna crumble, she's gonna fall, and we got it made. Oh heck no, she's gotten this inner strength
from
her.
Yes,
and she basically turned them on the heel. Now they're on the run. Basically, they can't even.
Oh, they need
her.
To run.
They can't even look at her eye to eye.
He had to deal with pythons and Jezebels, and they need to put on their tattoos and get the step in, if you know what I mean, Brother Thomas, because it's been a long journey. And you know, those that know me know that I love very hard. Those that I'm loyal to, I do, but.
You think
it comes
in everyone, Jewel. You don't think the evil.
I do. I do try to see the goodness, and even when I have tough love, it's still always grounded in love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's never toxic to the point where I aim to hurt or I aim to abuse or I aim to control. That's just not my MO. Right?
Right.
And
the
so,
demons inside are the difference. See, that's the flesh. That's the
yes.
human flesh in you. But the demons
yes.
that are inside these people is what you've got to put on the full armor of God. Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to deal with. And once you recognize, hey, I'm not dealing with family members such and such. I'm dealing with Jezebel such and such. I'm dealing with
go.
Python such and such.
Amen.
And so you have a totally different demeanor. With dealing with them, knowing that they have this unclean spirit in them that's aimed to kill, steal, and destroy you by any
yeah.
means necessary. So you have to put on your armor now and deal with them accordingly, which is something
yes.
that the demon is not used to. They're so used to
no.
using these vessels to
right.
attack you
right.
all the
well,
time.
See, Jewel, you see, Jewel, the devil basically has told these demons, hey, 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 here's the grand plan, you know. So this is what you do. So, you know, and he just left them to do it. That's what the devil does. He creates the shit, and then he walks away from the shit. I'm sorry to say that, but it's
yeah.
the truth. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, now they're faced with, hey, you know, you said, and he says, what did I say? You're doing it wrong. you ain't doing it right. So you need to get your act together. I gave you the tool. I gave you the direction. Now move
I
on.
Gave you the playbook. Yes.
Yeah.
I showed you how to torture such and such. I told you how to lie and steal from them. I gave yeah. you the playbook we always use. It has to be you not doing something right.
He ain't going to admit to being doing nothing wrong. The devil don't do that. No.
No.
He's perfect.
Because the truth is, at the end of the day, his goal is to collect souls anyway. So whether you do it right or wrong, and you're following his playbook, he knows that your soul is ultimately going to be his anyway.
Yeah.
So he has nothing
he's
to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's already got you. It's a win-win for him either way, whether you pass or fail. He doesn't care. But you know, I was thinking, Brother Thomas, that, you know, for those of you, if you've ever been in a narcissistic, abusive relationship, whether it's been with a spouse or a lot of times, it starts with family because you grow up with narcissistic family members and then these attributes you don't realize you end up finding in a spouse and it's just like an unending cycle where you're just like,
yeah.
What is
you're
going on
like
here?
A
why did he...
It's like a magnet.
Yes.
You're drawn to it.
What kind of Python spirit just keeps looping and looping around my neck? What is this?
Oh,
and, you know, many people cannot figure out how did they get themselves so locked in? And oftentimes, you're dealing with generational curses. And...
Yeah.
Those of us that are charged with breaking these generational curses deal with major, major attacks and some of the most sophisticated, unclean spirits you can imagine. They don't just come at you with one or two. I mean, the plots and plans would blow your mind. You're like, in what age?
If I can add something to it, and you said for me not to get too political, but okay, I'm going to do a little bit here.
Uh-huh.
So realize the Freemasons, people, and I know that there are some good Freemasons out there to a point, but when they get to the pinnacle of 33rd Mason, and those of you who know who 33rd Masons are, those are the ones who become worshipers of satanic. Rituals. And those are the ones that are so twisted in their beliefs and so twisted in their thoughts that it's the pinnacle. And it's something about being in the 33rd, 33, has to do with Jesus. You know, Jesus died at 33. So 33rd Mason means I've reached the pinnacle. So the devil's saying, when you get to this
similar to Jesus, right? Because he ascended.
Freemasons, yes, then you have obtained the ultimate. But when you have obtained that ultimate, he still expects the sacrifice. He still expects it. But see, Jesus said there's no need to sacrifice because he did. He died on the cross. He sacrificed himself to die on that cross to save us from our sins.
Yes. Yes.
But the 33rd Masons, they will have family members that are incorporated into this evilness. And so, you know, people who are facing this, you know, they're thinking, well, how can this person be this demonic? Because of avarice. You know, it's the root of all evil. You know, the greed, the money talks. You know, and so... These people need to turn from this, and if they would realize that God paid Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. There's no need to sacrifice. There's no need to take a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
God is
right.
The way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh through to the Father except through Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. You know, Brother Thomas, I saw a photo today that was very intriguing to me because it was a huge family that was all, I don't know if they had like a camp night or whatever, but they were all kind of sleeping out in the living room. And I'm talking about it was more than brothers and sisters. It was cousins and, you know, aunts and uncles, and they were all, I don't know if it was some type of sleepover or reunion. I don't know what it was, but it reminded me of growing up, right? I grew up, I mentioned this to you before, I was raised with my grandmother, and she had this three-story home. And I grew up around a lot of family, right? I had family downstairs, family upstairs, family on my floor. It was so much family that it's overwhelming to think that somehow between that time when you would sleep over at all your family members' house and you grow up together and you know, you love each other, that you get to adulthood and this need to do better financially, specifically, than others, takes over, and you block all of that out, all of those memories out, all of that love and sharing out, and would dare to sacrifice someone you shared such loving, endearing memories with. I can't fathom personally, even someone bringing that to me to the table,
Jewel,
because
it's a twist of fate. That's what it is. It's a twist of fate. So those that decide to go twisted a different way, then that's what they do. And that's kind of like blowing your mind that these people that you were under the same roof with, how could they turn so evil? So, forcibly, you know, trying to manipulate you when y'all all grew up the same way. What happened? You know? What happened? The devil happened.
I am questioning, where did the opening happen for these particular family members or friends or, you know, well, other people you come across? Where did that opening happen in their lives that Satan was able to attach these Python and Jezebel spirits for them to say they would do it so easily without any remorse, without a second thought? That to me is mind-blowing, because it's so abominable in the kingdom.
I'm trying to think of the expression. Oh, I got it. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The devil is in the dirty work.
Well, I've heard the devil in the details, but I've never heard the devil
Well, there's devil in the details, there's devil in the deeds, and there's devil in the dirty work. So sometimes the devil makes the dirty work seem, you know, pleasurable. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, they turn from God and they say, I like this life much better. It's so, you know, cool. And it's so intriguing, you know. And the devil's in the deeds. So then the deeds come with what they determine to do you injustice. Because they see that you are righteous, okay.
Yes.
And they see that you have somehow transformed yourself. And so the devil's saying, you know what, you can turn this person. You see, you have a connection with this person. So basically, you've got to do everything possible to get her to turn your way. Now, when you do, I got the reward for you. It's right here.
You
got all these riches and glory and this recognition and this adoration. And these are things that we strive for if we are materialistic. But if we are focused on godly deeds, godly ways, you see, you realize, again, it all comes back to simplicity. You see, with God, it's simple. It's a simple life. It's a simple direction. You know, Jesus came into this world. He didn't come in royal robes. No.
He was very humble and meek.
Right, and humility.
Mm-hmm.
So if we practice, get up every day and say, you know what, God, I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm going to be humble. I choose to be humble. I choose to feel humility. I choose to feel for my common man. I see this beggar out on the street. I'm not going to walk past him today. Okay? I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to take time. See, that's the thing. We're so consumed with time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for it. You know, time is something we don't have enough of. You know, we're always lacking time. And we're always looking for time. And so, we're probably over time with this podcast, and I don't care.
Speaking of which.
I don't care. You know, we've said some valuable little nuggets here, but I'm just saying this. If we will have but a humble spirit, and if we will have humility, and if we will have godlike thoughts in our minds each and every day, if we will let go and let God have control of our day, we will be so much better off. We'll have peace and tranquility that surpasses all understanding. And is that not what we truly want, people? Don't we all want peace and tranquility in this life of turmoil and this tempest that we're in right now? We do.
Yes. And I just want to touch on, because I know by the time, you know, we were talking about the Python spirit a little bit earlier and how it kind of organizes the chaos. And a lot of times, as Brother Thomas mentioned, you know, that Python spirit exists in certain organizations that have the ability to reach out their tentacles to their various members that have different positions in different locations and organize just a chaotic attack, if you will, on someone's livelihood. And, you know, I say that to say, you know, for those of you who haven't experienced such a vast attack, right?
You may realize it. Your common man
won't even realize by the time it happens. You know, you probably will think it's a series of bad luck until it's too late. And that Python kind of just squeezes the air out of you. And some of you who are headstrong might say to me, well, I'm an American and I will stand up for my rights and I will protest and I will sue and I will write my congressman and I will get a court case and I will do everything where there's no way I could be wronged by the local police officer and the local school
that's
and the local there's no way.
Oh man, Jill, that's where you,
you
put
have
your faith in the
wrong it's
man.
At that point you realize you can't put your faith in man because man can be bribed and compromised. Okay?
Yeah.
The fact is, right, that most of us may not experience this level of a Python attack. Hopefully most of us will
not.
But some of us have. And I'll raise my hand. Some of us have experienced this kind of persecution. And I want to emphasize that word because, you know, some people may think when you hear persecution, you might not fully understand the firsthand meaning of being attacked or ostracized you know, sought after in the most vile of ways in hopes that where you will be compelled to ask the Lord, where will my help come from?
Yeah.
Because it's not coming from man here on this earth.
And we think so. See, that is the fallacy. So we're turning.
Yes.
And I'm gonna step on some toes here. So here it comes. We tend to think that we've got to go to our churches, to our pastors, to our political leaders, and they're the ones that's going to give us the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. That's where we made a mistake. You see what we did? We eliminated God. We did.
At most, they might
give
you guidance.
God is really angry right now. Because he said, people, I've given you so many times. And you still turn to your evil ways. When's enough? So he's at that point. That's what Revelations is all about, people. Days of tribulation, trials and tribulation, we're in it. He said, I've given you every time. I've given you all these years. I've given you people that you could turn to. I've done all this. I've given you the words in the scripture. You still will not. Your will is so strong. You will not turn my way. And I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And so he said it. I mean, he did it in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He in Revelations, he says, you know, Babylon, you will be turned my way, one way or the other. And there's going to be death and destruction. And it's coming, people. And so you need to get right with God. You need to get your life in the right direction. Go down the right path. Otherwise, look out. Because the devil don't care. He don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He's there no matter what. But Jesus is coming. And this time when he comes, he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the devil is the one that's got the people in the chaff direction, okay? That's that chaff line. So you can go the chaff line or you can go the wheat line. Now, it's your choice because God gives you that free will. And he has done that because he wants you to know there is a way, there's a truth, and there's a light. And you need to see it. But he's not going to direct it. He's not going to give a lightning bolt into you and say, look, you went this way and I want you to go that way. No, that ain't how it works. You've got to turn from your evil ways. And the only way that you can do that is to seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Don't seek the devil and his evilness. Because at the end of the day, you got the fiery pit. That's where you're going to be versus being in the heaven. I choose heaven every day. I don't want to go to that fiery pit. No way. Mm-mm. That's too hot. I don't like hot. Mm-mm. No. Not that kind of hot. Not where it burns the flesh off your bones. And that devil likes that. He loves that ultimate sacrifice. You see, you signed on the dotted line that you said that you would commit your spirit to him. And he's going to insist on it.
And he's ready
but
to
God,
be like, you know.
All God says was, look, I gave you Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He did the sacrifice. He paid the price for all of your evil doings. And in the 11th hour, realize what the thief on the cross did. He saw and recognized Jesus for who he was. He said, you ain't supposed to be up here on this cross. You've been tried and all these people have got all these things. They've testified against you falsely.
Mm-hmm.
Me, on the other hand, they have every right to talk about me. I've done all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm guilty as charged. And so he said, sir, I ask for you to have favor on me. He says, please, when you're up there in heaven, can you please, you know, help me to face what I'm facing, but to realize that I did see into the eyes of God just for a moment, and I saw the goodness, and I chose that. And Jesus told him, because of your faith today, you will dwell in the house of the Lord with me forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 So even though we're evil, Jewel, even though there is evilness in this world, God still has hope that we will turn. Because God don't want no one to perish. He don't. He wants us all to be in heaven. We are his children. We are his children.
Amen. Amen, Brother Thomas. And I want to reemphasize that again before I close out with a prayer, because I know that many people may have either they're dealing with those unclean spirits in others, or they may have it in themselves. And I want to close out in a very powerful prayer to help you repent and reflect on.
And Jewel, one thing I do want to inflect into when you do the prayer, remember we want to also recognize that individual that did give for our previous podcast. We do want to encourage people to continue to give us comments. We do thrive on that, people, whether you know that or not. Mm-hmm. We definitely want y'all to know that we're listening to y'all and y'all give us directions and you are the ears that hear. And so if you have questions or comments, and you want us to delve into something more deeply, we can do that. We certainly will do that.
Yes, absolutely. So remember that, as Brother Thomas said, the answers to these spiritual problems are with our Father. And we seek him through prayer, discipleship, and ultimate submission to him.
Amen.
But we must always, always, always have hope in that 11th hour, as Brother Thomas described, that we will be vindicated. And so I want to encourage you guys today with this prayer, if you guys will meditate with me.
Yes, that's good.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you enforcing the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. The devil is defeated, the throne disarmed and destroyed. Today we enforce the victory as a believer and a child of God. We have the power and authority over any demonic power, spirit of Jezebel, spirit, the Python spirit, or any unclean, rebellious spirit, spirit of witchcraft, deception, and lies. We take authority over any demonic spirit, and we cast it down. Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we repent with all of our heart for giving place to these unclean spirits. We forgive all the people that causes pain and trauma. We remove all entry points in our lives to these unclean spirits. We take responsibility for being used or being under control of the Jezebel, Python, and unclean spirits. We renounce all control, intimidation, manipulation from any demonic spirit. We surrender our will to you, Jesus. We repent of our sins. We break every spell and curse from the Jezebel, Python, and unclean spirits right now. We recognize that we have been bewitched. We repent before you, dear Lord. We surrender all of our insecurities. We take responsibility for mistreating people, cursing people. God, we submit to your authority. We repent for even tolerating these unclean spirits, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, we take authority and we command every spirit of Jezebel, Python, and like come out of us today. We break every agreement, every control, every soul tie. Be broken in the name of Jesus. Right now, we are free. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Okay.
Power in that prayer. Power in that prayer.
Amen. I want to close out with a commentary we received from Reverend Corey Freeman, who said the last episode we had, what was that episode, Brother Thomas? Do you recall the name of that episode? We have so many podcasts now. The Thankful for the Great Escape.
Yeah, right? The Great Escape. Yes, The Great Escape. Yeah.
Great Escape. He said, we are right. We must apply that podcast to our lives, which was humbling when you hear a reverend, you know, reference your podcast and in total agreement. So thank you, Reverend Freeman, for commenting on that podcast. It really means a lot to know that you agree and you support what it is we do here. Mr. Grayson was thankful for us sharing, as well as Pastor Eddie Dighton, Miss Lynch, Miss Snyder, Mr. Kofi, and right. Mr. Sala are all thankful for us sharing. And Mr. Yes. Lowe Copin said amen and was also in total agreement of the share, the podcast share. So I am grateful that you guys are tuning in. You are in agreement that we are doing the Lord's work and hopefully saving lives and lifting the veil of the enemy's camp all at the same time. So thank you all very, very much for your support. And like Brother Thomas said, if there's any particular topic that you would like us to discuss or delve into a little bit further, feel free to add it to the comments and we will surely consider placing it as a topic for a future podcast, if you will. Right, Brother Thomas?
And go because, I mean, this podcast is going in a direction of what the people direct. And this is true.
Yes.
So yes. We're first instilled with God's principles, and we do say a prayer. Y'all may not know this, but we say a prayer before we ever present the podcast to y'all. And God blesses. But also, you know, we're reaching out to the people, to the masses. And so the masses can say, well, I want to know more about this, or I want to know more about that, and we'll most definitely delve into it, you know, deep dive, as we say, and try to come with a spiritual, you know, awakening.
So with that said, I want to again thank Brother Thomas for coming on to my podcast and always being so transparent, bold, and authentic with his commentary and shares. You know, Brother Thomas has also, one of the reasons why I really wanted him on for this particular podcast is that he is still dealing with the same Python spirit that's trying to squeeze at him financially and, you know, to set him up, because he talks so boldly and speaks about when something's right, it's right, and if it's wrong, it's wrong, and there's not too many people that, we'll do that today in a loving way. And Brother Thomas,
I'm a lion, Jewel. I'm a lion and not a sheepdog. I'm a lion.
Yes, you are.
So when I face these demons, I roar.
I'm sure they're timid.
You gotta have the strength.
That
you have the strength.
You're not backing down. Yes.
No.
And those of you that are going through it right now, whether you're dealing with people working in different agencies trying to squeeze at you and violate your rights as a citizen, if you're here in this country or around the world, you know, I ask you to just stand firm and in the truth. Speak your truth. And
Jill, I got one more thing that God is. I got one more thing that God has said for me to say.
Yeah.
So, I'm a lion in strength, okay, but I'm a lamb in humility.
Oh, amen. That's beautiful.
Now, is that
is
true?
Beautiful.
So, a lion. You need a lion to be strong, and to face the demons. But your Lamb of God is Jesus. and he came with a humble spirit.
Yes, he did.
Okay? And so that's what our goal is. We want to get to the goal of being humble. We want a humble spirit. But to get there, you're going to have to be a lion in this day
and
time.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? So,
that's so good.
That's it for today's podcast. Again, I want to encourage you guys to donate to our podcast. I did put up the GoFundMe link. If you can, I know it's hard times, but, you know, even a dollar or so to help us continue to do what we do would be great. And I left you guys the phone number you can call. Again, that's 615-205-5657. And oh yeah, don't forget about your girl now. I told you guys I'm a travel agent and it's summertime. So I know you guys are trying to get about here and there and everywhere. Don't forget to, you know, reach out to your girl and let her do some work for you.
Hey, Jill,
can I mention
about your new job? Can I mention about your new job?
I would prefer not to delve into that yet.
Well, I just want them to be praying for you that, you know, everyone has training days, okay? And so Jewel's got training day tomorrow, and y'all look at the time right now. And so she's kind of concerned about her being available to do and be strong-willed and minded and everything focused. And so we've all gone through training day. So y'all just give her prayer that God will give her that inner strength to do what she's got to do on a daily basis with all her family and those, you know, adversaries and all that stuff that she's having to deal with, but that God will give her the fortitude to go through all this and still get her training done. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. You guys know your girl is always hustling, so... You know, I got to take care of my three babies, and I do appreciate Brother Thomas praying for me. You guys can also put up prayers that I am successful in whatever it is that I take on. I appreciate it. Again, I'm going to leave you guys with this last nugget that I always tell you guys, which is, a gem of experience to reflect on whenever you think of my podcast, and that is to remember every experience, good or bad, as value like a jewel. Its true worth shines in, you got it, the right light. I wish you all well. Thank you for joining us today, and we will talk soon again with Can We Talk with Jewel. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're not going to believe it, Jewel.
1 second, Thomas. You know, I cannot. Oh, boy. This may have to get edited.
Did you stop it?
No, it hasn't stopped. Oh my gosh. It logged me out. I gotta log back in to stop it. Okay. I hope they heard all of that. I don't know how to edit it.